Stanley walked in a meadow, looking up the joined rock tower. It was laid streaked with different shades of red, burnt orange, brown and tan. It must have been over 100 feet tall. Stanley lay a while just looking at it. He didn't have the strength to get up. It felt like the inside of his mouth and throat were coated with sand. And no wonder, when he rolled over, he saw the whole waterhole. It was about 2.5 feet deep, over 3 feet wide. At the bottom lay no more than 2 inches of very brown water. His hands and fingers were sore from digging, especially under his fingernails. He scooped some dirty water into his mouth, then swished it around, trying to filter it with his teeth. Zero moaned. Stanley started to say something to him, but no words came out of his mouth, and he had to try again. How are you doing, but it hurts to talk. Not good, Zero said quietly. With great effort, he rolled over, raised himself to his knees, and crawled to the waterhole. He lowered his head into it and lapped up some water. Then he jerked back, clutched his knees to his chest, and rolled his side. His body shook violently. Stanley thought about going back down the mountain to look for the shovel so he could make the waterhole deeper. Maybe that would be give him cleaner water. They could use the jars as drinking glasses. But he didn't. He didn't have the strength to go down, let alone make it back up again. And he didn't know where to look. He struggled to his feet. He was in a field of greenish-white flowers that seemed to extend all the way around the big thumb. He took a deep breath, then walked the last 50 yards to the giant precip and touched it. Tag, you're it. Then he walked back to Zero and the waterhole. On the way, he picked one of the flowers. It actually wasn't one big flower. He discovered it, but instead each flower was really a cluster of tiny little flowers that formed a round ball. He brought it into his mouth, but had to spit it out. He could see part of the trail he had made the night before when he carried Zero up the mountain. If he was going to head back down and look for the shovel, he realised he shouldn't do it soon. While the trail was fresh, but he didn't want to leave Zero. He was afraid Zero might die while he was gone. Zero was still lying doubled over on his side. I gotta tell you something, but, he's with a groan. Don't talk now, said Stanley. Save your strength. No, listen, Zero insisted. Then he closed his eyes on his face, twisted with pain. I'm listening, Stanley whispered. I took your shoes, Zero said. Stanley didn't know why he was talking about. His shoes were on his feet. That's all right, he said. Just rest now. It's all my fault, but, Zero said. It's nobody's fault, said Stanley. I didn't know, Zero said. That's okay, Stanley said. Just rest. Zero closed his eyes. But then again, he said, I didn't know about the shoes. What shoes? From the shelter. It took a moment for Stanley to comprehend. Clyde Livingston's shoes. I'm sorry, said Zero. Stanley stared at him. It was impossible. Zero was delirious. Zero's confession seemed to bring him some relief. The muscles in his face relaxed as he drifted into sleep. Stanley softly sang him the song that he had been in his family for generations. If only the woodpecker sighs, the bark on the tree was just a little bit softer. While the wolf waits below, hungry and lonely, he cries to the moon, if only, if only.